Reading from My Glorious Master, Fiji, 1976. Opaque Projections. One evening, Prabhupada wanted to show his hosts a letter he had received. He could have read the letter aloud, but instead he asked his servant to find an opaque projector to project the letter on the wall. When his servant said no projector was available, Prabhupada expressed his desire that his entourage carry one with them from then on. My comment, Prabhupada didn't hesitate to use technology in Krishna's service. Technology's ingredients and the creative intelligence behind technology, quote, spring from but a spark, end quote, of Krishna's splendor. Prabhupada had no interest in dry renunciation. He saw everything as Krishna's and meant to be used in his service. There's once when Prabhupada was at 26 Second Avenue in the very early days, some peculiar piano artist asked him to attend a program, and somehow the program was at Carnegie Hall. And Prabhupada decided to attend it, and only a few people were there, and the person was banging on the wires inside the piano. And then Prabhupada stayed for half of it, being polite. And the person asked Prabhupada, how did he like it? And Prabhupada said, nice. And then Prabhupada explained the reason that he had attended was to see if Carnegie Hall would be used as a temple. The next section, freedom from anxiety. After speaking to the devotees and guests who were present, Prabhupada leaned back, relaxed, with his head gracefully moving across and resting on his head. He said, in the beginning, I had nothing, and there was no anxiety. But now Krishna has given so much, and still there is no anxiety. Prabhupada then smiled in his unique way, illuminating the room as the sun illuminates the darkened earth at sunrise. My comment, Prabhupada struggled on so many fronts in his service of establishing the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world. Yet his overall mood was full dependence on Krishna. Therefore, despite his struggling with managing a worldwide movement as well as his errant and unsteady disciples, he could describe himself as free from all anxiety. A child's offering. Our morning programs in Fiji were simple. We gathered with Prabhupada and offered Guru Puja. We would then chant Hare Krishna and hear his class. One morning, as Prabhupada sat cross-legged on the plush mauve couch, my daughter, with Jagatarini's prodding to, quote, show Prabhupada your doll, placed at Prabhupada's feet her crudely carved 2-inch wooden doll. Prabhupada accepted her offering and, smiling, picked up the doll. He held it in his fingers for a few moments and examined it, waiting for a possible interaction with her. Prabhupada then looked at Vrindavan Leela before handing the doll back to me. My comment. Prabhupada had previously shown my daughter affection, but she was shy and unresponsive. Another time he offered her a sweet, but she turned away and buried her face in her mother's sari. When Jagatarini coaxed her to take the sweet from Prabhupada's hand, Vrindavan Leela began to cry. Prabhupada motioned her not to disturb the child. Prabhupada remained affectionate even from a distance. This morning at Guru Puja, Prabhupada received the doll as a loving exchange and handed Vrindavan Leela a burgundy flower. Whether dealing with a small child or an adult, Prabhupada patiently awaited his chance to bestow his affection and mercy. Chant Hare Krishna. After a few days, several Indian families joined our morning program. One day, Guru Kripa Swami danced and led the singing of Jeeb Jago and other bhajans for Prabhupada's pleasure. Prabhupada stopped him in the middle of a song and told him to chant Hare Krishna so the guests could also sing. Prabhupada directed us to be conscious and considerate of others so that we would fan, not douse, their spark of enthusiasm to hear and chant. An artful operation, instructions for householders. My wife and I approached Prabhupada for guidance. I was eager to serve him in ISKCON more directly. My wife was hesitant. In the ensuing conversation, however, Prabhupada encouraged both of us, especially my wife, to act dutifully as householders in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, live separately. You're a family man. Live separately, earn your livelihood. Where is the problem? Parijan, that's not what I want. I want to preach. Prabhupada, you cannot preach. Those who are preaching, they are sannyasis. You cannot preach with the sannyasis and your wife and a child. That's not possible. A preacher must be a free man. You have got responsibility. You're married. You must maintain your wife and children. You cannot get out of this simple responsibility. Your child is small. You have to take care. You have to take care of your wife. She has surrendered. On my word, she went to marry you. She's so nice. She's so nice, girl. That is unique in the Western countries. She never saw you previously. Simply, I told her, go and marry that boy. So she went. So nice. You must take responsibility for your wife and children. There's no need of preaching. I said, yes, Prabhupada. Preaching is meant for the sannyasis, one who has got no encumbrances. But a grihastha also can, as you were doing in Hong Kong, you were doing nice, husband and wife, but you changed your mind. But if you change your mind, there will always be problems. So you fix up your mind. That is my advice. My comment. This conversation took place after Prabhupada had taken his massage, but before his prasad. He corrected both Jagatrini and I, and we felt relieved that Prabhupada had diagnosed the problem. He then had us leave so he could eat, but directly after taking his prasad, he called us back to his room. Prabhupada said, so what is the solution? I said, well, I would like to serve someone who is serving you, Prabhupada. And you? Jagatrini said, I guess the same. But I'm still very confused about it. Prabhupada, what is the confusion? Many devotees already doing, you can also. So now, what will be your program? I said, we're going to Hawaii on the same flight as you, and then I'll go to Los Angeles. Then I was supposed to assume the duties in Laguna Beach. Prabhupada, our temple? Prabhupada, British on me. Yes, Prabhupada, that is good. How about you? Jagatrini said, there's still things I don't understand. I hear so many people being critical. Prabhupada said, why do you worry so much about others? You are supposed to be a faithful wife to your husband, that's all. So why are you concerned about them? Jagatrini said, because devotees are in conflict with those I respect. Prabhupada, respect you may have, that is good. We may respect even the ant. One who has no respect is another thing. But as a faithful wife, your duty is to follow your husband. That is your duty. Otherwise, you will be hampered in your advancement to Krishna consciousness. It is my duty to say that. There is no problem. You are husband and wife, and you have to follow the instructions of your spiritual master wherever you live, either you live in the temple or outside. A grihastha is supposed to live outside because one has to take care of wife and children. But if you remain within our temple, you will become a temple president. That's nice. So manage nicely and keep yourself pure. What is wrong there? Then everything is all right. We have got arrangements for grihasthas. We don't make any distinctions. Simply one has to be in full Krishna consciousness. Study the philosophy and try to distribute this philosophy. Where is the problem? I don't see the problem. Prabhupada looks at Jagatrini. Your duty is to keep peacefully with your husband, and his duty is to follow strictly the principles given to him by his spiritual master. You've got to live, so live cooperatively. A wife's duty is to remain faithful to her husband, and if the husband is a pure devotee, then both of them will be happy. What is the problem? Prabhupada refers to an Indian couple. You see, they are living happily, husband and wife. The culture is so nice amongst Indians that in any condition, the husband and wife live peacefully. Tantuni, I've not been brought up in that culture, Prabhupada. Ah, but if something is good, you should accept. Tantuni, yes, Prabhupada. I know in your Western countries, the ideas are different, but we have to pick up the best. In Vedic culture, the wife should remain faithful to her husband. If the husband is bad, then that is another thing. Your husband is not bad. He's a devotee. So what is wrong here? Don't disturb your mind. Follow what I have laid down in Chant Hare Krishna. Follow the regulative principles and read the books. You see this girl? Prabhupada again refers to the Indian couple in whose house we are staying. She is maintaining a temple in the closet. This is the Vedic way. It does not require any big hall. Even Krishna is agreeable to keep himself in a closet. I was doing in my childhood also. Jagatrini, like this, I feel comfortable. Anywhere you can worship, Prabhupada said. You can keep in a box. It doesn't mean that you have to have a very big temple. No, that is according to means. If you've got money, then build temple, just like we have got in Bombay, Vrindavan. If money comes, then otherwise, keep in a box. Krishna is agreeable. Krishna does not say, first of all, build me a big temple, then I will accept your service. He is agreeable. Patram pushpam palam. Simply devotion. The real thing is bhakti. Either you keep in a box, him in a box, or in a big temple. But if you've got means to build a big temple, then don't keep him in a box. That is cheating. Krishna can understand that too. If you've got no means, he is agreeable. Keep him in a box. So devotion to Krishna cannot be checked in any circumstances. You can keep yourself anywhere, very peacefully. Worship the deity, small scale, big scale. Where is the problem? In a temple, it seems necessary to perform all worship in a complicated fashion, and I can't do that. Prabhupada, if you cannot manage big temple, make small temple, but keep it nice. These big temples can also be managed. And so can this temple, small one. So what is feasible for you? Best thing is to stop taking instructions from anyone else. You take instructions from your husband. And if your husband does not give you proper instruction, I will give. You can write, I will give. Jagatrini, yes. You can take instructions, and if you think that he is not competent, then you can ask me. And do not take other instructions. That is not good for a woman. Jagatrini, yes. Women should not divert her attention to anyone else except her husband. That will keep her pure. That is the Vedic culture. A woman's beauty is how much she is devoted to her husband. That is beauty, not personal beauty. One who is ugly, his beauty is his knowledge. Similarly, woman's beauty is how much she is devoted to her husband. One bird is black like a crow, but her voice is so sweet. The more a woman is devoted to her husband, she's beautiful. That is Vedic culture. Just like Sita, Ramachandra's stepmother, served her husband Maharaj Dasarath so nicely that Dasarath Maharaj wanted to give her some benediction. She said, I'll take in time. So when her stepson Ram was announced to be king, she wanted that her son should be king. So she requested Maharaj Dasarath, you wanted to give me one benediction? Yes, you can take. So my son should be king. And Ram should be banished, sent to the forest for 14 years. Maharaj Dasarath immediately fainted, but still, because he promised, he told Ram, this is the position, so you have to go to the forest, my dear son. Ram replied, oh yes, father, and he went. This is ideal, but he did not ask his daughter-in-law Sita to go. She was also a king's daughter. She was princess, so she could say, all right, my husband is going to the forest, I can go stay with my father's house. But instead, she said, no, Ram, I shall go. Ramachandra said, no, no, you were asked to stay here. But Sita replied, no, I cannot do. My duty is that where my husband goes, I go. So she went with her husband, and so many chaotic conditions were created simply for her pleasure. And she was kidnapped. Ram was able to create millions of Sitas, but for one Sita, he fought Ravana, and gave him a lesson in such a way that his whole family was destroyed. And Sita was rescued. This is the duty. These shastras have to be learned for duty. Father's duty, son's duty, everything ideal. All ideal. So first of all, you select husband and wife where you shall live very peacefully and live there and follow your husband peacefully. Worship the deity, individually or collectively, whatever is possible. But don't be disturbed and create problems. That will spoil your life. Legatory. It seems hard to change one's mentality when one is not already very submissive. Prabhupada, that's up to you. That requires determination. This I was explaining to you. Anyone who is seeing a woman, he's attracted. But if he is so determined, no, I'll have no more sex life. Then he is safe. Not that because I'm thinking of woman, I must have. No, I must know. I'm a sannyasi. I have taken vow before my guru. How can I? No. Mind may be disturbed. Mind's business is to become disturbed, accept and reject. But I should not be under my mind. That is called Goswami, not servant of the mind. Mind should be servant. That is all. Otherwise, it will be very difficult. Maya is very strong. So I must be determined. My comment. Later, Prabhupada explained to other disciples, Arjuna very intelligently appointed Krishna as his spiritual master because everyone is in perplexity about the problem of life. So this very thing happened to Arjuna and he wanted to go to his spiritual master for a solution. And the supreme spiritual master was present before him. Therefore, he submitted. Shishasheham sarimam tam prapanam kapanya du savahatta sobhava yashreya syan nistitam bhutam me. The spiritual master's duty is how to benefit the disciple. Shreya. Two public programs. Just after Prabhupada spoke to Jagatrini and I, he held two public programs. At one, he laid the cornerstone for Latoka's Krishna Kaliya temple. And at the other, he lectured in Hindi to a full house of locals at a Suva movie theater. Although Prabhupada had allotted 2 weeks for his Fiji visit, he decided to travel earlier than expected to ISKCON's temple in Honolulu, Hawaii. At the cornerstone laying ceremony, the devotees held kirtan with Sanai throughout the town to the future site of the Krishna Kaliya temple. Prabhupada placed the sacred items in the cornerstone hole. He inspired Dowji Punja to take up responsibility of temple construction. Although Dowji Punja failed to shave his head before the initiation ceremony, as Prabhupada had asked, Prabhupada nevertheless initiated him and his wife as Vasudeva Das and Bhagavati Dasi. During the Suva movie theater engagement, Prabhupada sat on a stage and lectured to a packed house of what appeared to be the working class of the Fiji Indian community. The master of ceremonies who ran the local Hindu school, brought out several classes of students. The children came on stage and nervously chanted several chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada watched patiently, fingering his japa beads and softly chanting Hare Krishna. After these engagements, Prabhupada left for Honolulu. Although he had a good facility for his translating work, the preaching opportunities in Fiji were minimal. Prabhupada seemed to have no desire to relax or even to spend his days in full-time writing. We, however, were satisfied seeing Prabhupada every day with only a few devotees present and honoring his Mahaprasad remnants. And the final incident vignette in this chapter is called Light in Darkness. The flight from Fiji to Hawaii was a night flight. The plane was almost empty. I stretched out along three seats where the cabin lights dimmed. When the cabin lights dimmed, I slept well for several hours, but suddenly I awoke and sat up. Prabhupada was directly before my seat and was walking through the sparse yellow light towards the front of the plane. He steadied himself on the armrests as he went. He looked pure and inwardly serene, deep and effulgent like a traveler from a higher dimension. I spontaneously asked Prabhupada, can I help with anything? His head nodded gently back and forth, and he smiled softly. No need. and continued on my comment. This short vignette impressed the sweet picture on my consciousness. Prabhupada, golden in the dim yellow light, walking slowly forward in the airplane cabin. I pray that Krishna allows this moment to always remain with me. Hare Krishna. We'll end here.